Well, I want to invite you this morning to open your Bibles with me. Oh, you're fine. And we're going to switch it up a little bit. I want to invite you to open your Bibles with me to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. So, all week, you know, this is one of those few times where the Lord kind of changes directions on you, and you're like, all right, okay. So working on, you know, been working on Proverbs chapter 9, and then I got up early Thursday morning, and I was doing some reading and praying and meditating on Psalm 16. And I sensed the Lord saying, you know, I want you to talk a little bit about Psalm 16. And I said, are you sure, Lord? Because Proverbs chapter 9 would also be a pretty good text to go from. He said, no, I think I want you to talk a little bit on Psalm 16. I'm like, okay, we will do it. That's right, he is the boss. And Psalm 16 has been near and dear to my heart for several months now. It's been several months, but the Lord led me to memorize this psalm, and it's been a great source of blessing to my heart. And it's amazing how, even in my morning, you know, Bible reading, where sometimes I'll just read through it again, and in my mind, I don't know, I haven't counted, I've probably rolled this psalm over in my mind hundreds of times. And it's amazing how, as I continue to roll it over in my head, in my mind, and, you know, oftentimes I'll be, you know, in the bed, you know, waiting to go to sleep. Wendy will say it probably doesn't take very long for me to go to sleep, but, you know, in my mind, one of these verses, or the whole psalm, will just kind of just roll through. And it's amazing how God just reveals himself through his word. But what, you know, of course, Thursday morning was Thanksgiving. And I was kind of, that's where my head was, that's where my mind was, just focused on God's blessing and God's goodness and how good God has been to me, to my family. And as I was looking at Psalm 16, I just see verse after verse of how in our lives, how God is so good to us and how we have so many things to be thankful for. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to read this psalm, and I have 8 blessings this morning. So you could say it's an 8-point sermon, maybe. We don't have to do all 8, and they probably, you know, will not be, you know, long, drawn-out explanations of each point, but we might at least touch on them. And I know that you could probably word some of these differently, but this is how, you know, the Lord led me. But as we're kind of like, right, we just Thanksgiving, and now we're into Christmas. And it's just this beautiful combination of being grateful to God for his blessings. And then as we look to Christmas, being grateful to God for the greatest blessing of all, the blessing of his son, Jesus Christ. It's just a perfect combination. And so I want us to kind of just focus as we look at our lives, and in this psalm, we're just going to see how in our life, God just blesses us in so many ways, and my prayer today is that it will truly lead us to give him and express gratitude and thanks to him, and not take some of these things for granted. And so my prayer is that God will help these blessings to become real to us today. Help them to become real. And what I have found is that the more you read, like this psalm, I have read it again and meditated on it hundreds of times, The more you meditate on God's truth, the more real it becomes to you. And the more these promises and these blessings become a reality in your life. And so today is just kind of an overflow of thanksgiving to God for how He has spoken to me in this text. And my prayer is that God will also lead you to praise and thanksgiving. And so let's look at Psalm 16, verses 1 through 11. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Of course, those last few verses, when the disciples were proclaiming the gospel in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out on them in the upper room, and then they went out and with all the people who had gathered from all over the world who had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of Pentecost, and as they were gathered there and these disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, what did they do? They proclaimed the gospel of Jesus, and part of that was they talked about His resurrection. Jesus has been raised from the dead, and it's this verse that they quote from Psalm 16 to show that the Scriptures foretold of His resurrection. He says in verse 10, "You will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption." David didn't realize all that the Spirit of God was leading him to write and prophesy. We know that it wasn't true of David. His body did see corruption, but not the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was raised from the dead. The Scriptures testify of the resurrection. Jesus, when He was, you know, tested about, you know, the resurrection, oh, you know, what if this guy marries and her husband dies and, you know, he's got six brothers and she marries all seven and they don't have any kids, whose husband will she be in the resurrection, you know? And He's like, you don't understand. In the resurrection, it's not going to be, life is not going to be as it is in every way in this life. There's not going to be marriage and giving of marriage the way that we experience it now. And he went on to say, and you don't know the power of God. And then He went to the Old Testament to show the truth, the reality of the resurrection. And he went to the law. He went to Moses. God told Moses, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I currently am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And so we know from Scripture the reality and the truth of the resurrection. And so, you know, that's one blessing, the blessing of resurrection of life that we see right here in Psalm 16. And so as we gather to the table and we celebrate the death of Jesus and his sacrifice for us, one of the blessings that we are thankful for today as God's people is resurrection of life, because we're all going to die. Every one of us are going to leave this world, and we don't know when that day is going to be. Unexpected, and some of us, you know, are going to maybe leave this world before what we would consider to be, you know, the ripe old age of whatever you would consider to be the ripe old age of. You know, most of us aren't going to be Marvin. Most of us aren't going to get there. But one day, God's going to call us home. But praise God, because Jesus rose from the dead, I can rejoice in knowing that I'm going to also be raised from the dead. And so the blessing as we gather today, and I wanted to kind of start with that one, because that was in this scripture here, this chapter, the apostles and the disciples focused on the resurrection. You read through Acts, they make much of the resurrection of Jesus. Much of the resurrection. And so praise God today as we're here celebrating Thanksgiving, thanking God for his blessing. We're celebrating entering into this Christmas season, thanking God for his coming to earth. We want to also thank God for the hope of the resurrection that we have in Christ Jesus. He didn't allow his Holy One to see corruption. He didn't abandon his soul to Sheol. And because Jesus has been raised, we will also be raised. And so I want to just touch on some of these other blessings. The second blessing, and so kind of let's move back up to the top. A second blessing that we should be so thankful for is how God protects and guards our life. He preserves us. David says in verse 1, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge." This is a prayer of David acknowledging how weak that he is. I don't have the strength and the power to preserve and to guard my own heart against temptation. I don't have the strength and the power to preserve and guard my heart against my own sinful nature. But God, you can preserve me. God, you can guard my heart. God, you can protect me, just as a shepherd guards and protects the sheep. Or just as the Secret Service guard and protect the President of the United States. And there's a lot that goes into the detail, the planning of preserving, guarding, protecting. Wherever he goes, they know his every move, his every step, and they make sure that they go ahead and protect. They make sure that wherever he's going, that they've been there, they've mapped it out, they've protected him. They're going to protect him from whatever potential danger may come his way. And just to know that our God is also preserving us, guarding us, keeping us, protecting us. This is near and dear to the heart of our Lord. In John 17, Jesus prayed, "Holy Father, keep them in your name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one." This morning, it is really important that we understand, as we go throughout our lives, each and every day, we need the preserving, the guarding, the protecting power of our Lord over our lives. And if we don't acknowledge that, if we don't understand that, I don't think that we understand how weak we really are spiritually. I don't think we understand how weak or how strong our sinful nature is, how strong temptation is. Each and every day, just as David, we should be praying, "God, I'm trusting in you to protect my life. I'm trusting in you, Lord God, to preserve me and to keep me from the evil one, to guard me from temptation. Lord, my flesh is weak, and I need your protection. I need you to go before me today. I need you to watch over me. And when we mark it down, when we pray with that kind of humility, and when we trust in God in that kind of way for protection, God is pleased to come and to cover us. He will be like Zechariah 2:5 says, "And I will be to her a wall of fire all around, declares the Lord, and I will be the glory in her midst." Praise God today, not only for the blessing of resurrection of life, but for the blessing of protection of life. That God is the one who is preserving, that God is the one that is guarding, that God is the one that is keeping. Listen, I fully believe that when we get to heaven, we're going to realize that each step of the way, God was guarding us and protecting us and keeping us. It wasn't my strong willpower. It was the power and the protection of the Lord that has brought me safely home. Not only resurrection of life, not only protection of life, but the goodness of life. Psalm 16:2 says, "I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you." I have no good in my life, Lord, that hasn't come from your hand. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." Psalm 100 says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." I want you to just stop right now, and I want you to think about all the good in your life. All the good. The goodness, first of all, that God has forgiven my sins. The goodness that my guilt, the guilt that was weighing down upon my life like a million tons, that guilt has been lifted. It's been removed. The goodness of being reconciled. I was once separated and alienated from God, but now the goodness of an intimate relationship. I've been reconciled to my God, and now I walk with him and I know him. The goodness of his presence in my life through the Holy Spirit. The goodness of his patience with me. The goodness of how he is continuing and completing that good work that he has started. He's continuing to work. The goodness of a loving family. The goodness of a loving mom, a loving dad. The goodness of children. The goodness of family. We experience that. Many of us, hopefully, were able to experience that these past few days, the goodness of our health, the fact that we're here today. There's some people that aren't here today because physically they're not able to be here. And maybe there was a time when physically you would not have been able to be here, but now you are here today. Thank you, God, for giving me the health to be here today. The goodness of food to eat this morning. You know, I thought it just, the Holy Spirit just struck me this morning. So as I got up early, my breakfast was 2 pieces of cinnamon raisin toast. And I put some butter on that, and it came out of the toaster. And I just thought, Lord, there's so many people around the world that would just die to have 2 pieces of toast. They'd love to be able to get up and fix 2 pieces of toast and put it in the toaster. God, you are so good. You are so good. And to have a hot cup of coffee to go with it. Lord, thank you for the goodness of a house to stay dry in and a house to stay warm in. How many people around the world don't have those things? You know, we saw the stories a few weeks ago, Operation Christmas Child, and the one family where the dad was building his house out of the cardboard that he got from the dump. Think if that was you as a father, and the only thing that you could afford, or the only thing that you could build a home for your family, for your children, is what you found, cardboard and things that you found from the dump. Think of His goodness today. I say to the Lord, You are my Lord. I have no good apart from You. Praise God for His goodness today. Praise God for the relationships that we have with the saints. Verse 3 says, As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. That's how God sees us. God sees us as saints. He sees us as holy, and we are in Christ Jesus. We are holy. He sees us as His excellent ones. And we see the heart of God that He has toward us. God delights in us. He rejoices over us. And so here's a question that I want to ask in relation to this verse. Do we see one another as saints? Do we see one another as made holy by the blood of Jesus and clothed in the righteousness of Christ? Do we see one another as the excellent ones? Is our attitude toward one another an attitude of delight? Do we delight in the saints? And that's what he says here. He says, As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. And so just let me give a prayer that will, I think, kind of help us with this verse. God, You see me as a saint. That's how You see me in Christ Jesus. You see me as holy. And so, Lord, help me to see my fellow brothers and sisters as saints. Holy in Christ Jesus. God, You see me as one of Your excellent ones. In Christ Jesus, You see me as excellent. God, help me to see my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ as excellent ones. God, You delight in me. You rejoice in me with all of Your heart. God, help me to delight in and rejoice in just as You do me. Help me to delight in and rejoice in my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Relationships of life, relationships with God's people. Contentment in life is another blessing. We see that in verses 4 through 6. The sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. If you run after another God, multiplied sorrows is all you will receive. But you flip that around. You run after God, not multiplied sorrow, but multiplied joy and contentment. The sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. Verse 5, The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul talked about contentment. And he talked about how, you know, we like to quote Philippians 4:13. What's Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But, you know, those verses that come before it are pretty important. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, Paul says, Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned. We got to learn. In whatever situation I am, to be content. Paul went through some situations. He said, I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. Let that sink in. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. And now we can say verse 13, I can do all things through him, through Christ, who gives me strength, who strengthens me. And so the context of that verse is contentment in life. That's the context. Contentment, deep contentment in life, deep satisfaction in life, regardless of whether I have plenty or have little. I can face it all with contentment because of Jesus Christ, who gives me strength. And so if I lose my job, or if I get a promotion at my job, if I lose it, if I get a promotion, I've learned that my job is not my portion, my job is not my cup, my job is not my inheritance, my job is not the thing in my life that I'm running after as my God. Jesus is who I'm running after. I'm running after Jesus. He's my portion. He's my cup. He holds my lot. He's the one that's drawn the lines for my life. And whether I get a promotion or I lose my job, I've learned that through Jesus and chasing after him, I can be content in all things. And I thank the Lord for contentment in life. For contentment in life. Only Jesus can give you contentment in life. A big bank account will not give you contentment. A promotion will not give you contentment. A new car will not give you contentment. Even a clean bill of health will not ultimately give you contentment, because one day that's going to fail. The only thing that can give deep, lasting contentment is chasing after Jesus and saying, Lord, you are my portion. You're my portion. You're my cup. You hold my lot. You've drawn some beautiful lines for my life, Lord. Not only contentment of life, but instruction for life. He says in verse 7, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. In verse 11, the first part of verse 11, he says, you make known to me the path of life. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. Listen. We need the Lord's counsel. We need the Lord's counsel. We need his wisdom. Man, I've been so blessed going through the book of Proverbs. We know so little about how to deal with life. And the older we get and the more things that come our way, we need God to continue to give us counsel. As our kids get older, as we get older, as life changes, God, I need more counsel. I need more wisdom. God, give us a teachable spirit. God, rid us of this I know it all kind of attitude. Rid us of that, Lord. Help us to come before you, God, with a humble heart and a teachable spirit. Isaiah 66 demonstrates or describes this teachable spirit of coming to the Lord and humbling before him. Isaiah 66 and verse 1 says, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me, and what is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit, and look at that last, and trembles at my word. Those are the ones that the Lord will look to. The ones who come to the word and with a spirit of humility said, Lord, I need your counsel. I need you to teach me. I need you to guide me. I need you to instruct me. I need you to show me how to be the wife, the husband, the mom, the dad. I need you to give me wisdom to how to deal with this situation at work. Lord, I need you to give me counsel to address this relational issue that's going on. I need you, God, to show me. That teachable spirit is what the Lord is looking for. And he says in Psalm 16, I bless the Lord who is giving me counsel. Lord, you make known to me. You're the one who makes known to me, God, the path of life. God is the only one who is able to do these. Another is stability of life. Verse 8 says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. I praise God for stability of life. God's presence alone, his presence alone is what will bring a calmness and a peace when everything around us is crumbling. When everything is shaking, as we set the Lord before us, he is the one who will give us stability. The wise man who built his house on the rock, the storm was raging, the winds blew, but the house did not crumble and fall. Listen, we live in some unstable times. Very unstable. There's instability all around the world. There's instability in our own country. There's instability all around. There's instability in relationships. There's instability with our family situation. We see instability. We need that firm foundation. And praise God for the blessing that when we set him before us, when we set the Lord always before us, he's the one who gives us that firm foundation. We will not be shaken. He gives us gladness of life. We see that in verses 9 and the end of verse 11. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. Verse 11 says, in your presence there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. There is a joy and a gladness, a fullness of joy that God gives that you can't find anywhere else in this world. You can't find it. You know, there's things in life where we experience a lot of joy and gladness. And all of those things kind of just, it's God's way of saying to us, you see this joy you experience here? You see this gladness that you experience here? Well, that's just a taste of the joy and the gladness that I have for you. The joy and the gladness of getting the family together for Thanksgiving. Being together with the whole family and sitting around the table and seeing everyone when you hadn't seen everyone together. I mean, there's a joy and a gladness of just being together with family, right? There's a joy and a gladness, a contentment of seeing Mama, seeing all her kids there, you know, and just that blessing of being together. Or Dad's been gone on a deployment and Dad comes home and man, there's just joy and gladness in the family again. And God is saying, you see that joy and gladness that you experience? In my presence, there is fullness of joy. And at my right hand are pleasures forevermore. Think about that. In God's presence, there's going to be eternal and everlasting pleasure and joy that will never diminish. Never diminish. Praise God. Fullness of joy in his presence. And then the last one is security of life. And there's a difference between, there's a distinction between stability and security. And he says in verse 10, he says, you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. He says in the end of verse 9, my flesh also dwells secure. My flesh dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. God's love and faithfulness, his commitment to us, extends through this life into eternity. He says, I will never abandon you. I will never abandon you. I will never leave you. You know, I mean, when we got married, in those first, I don't know how, it was in those beginning stages of marriage where we were talking, and she said, you know, one of the things that's really important for me or for women is to feel secure. To feel secure. And so I've kind of, okay, you know, that's something I need to remember. And that's something I need to kind of work on, to helping her to continue to feel secure. And that is important. The reality is that in this life, people are going to disappoint. The reality is in this life, because we live in a fallen, sinful world, sin's going to get in and mess things up. Sin's going to break relationships up. People will leave. People will abandon you. But here's what God says to us. God says, I will never abandon you. I will never leave you. And therefore, we can feel secure today. Because how many times have we not been faithful to Him? But God says, even though you are faithless, I will remain faithful to you. And so when we look at all of these blessings, we can have, and we do experience, and you know, a theological term is eternal security. I believe in eternal security. I believe that because of my faith in Jesus and my relationship with Jesus, that I am eternally secure, not because of anything about me, but because my God is faithful, because He's faithful. And so this morning, we have so much to be thankful for, so many blessings. And I don't know, the Lord just led me to say, you know, Todd, let's just talk about my goodness and my blessings. And let's let this scripture lead the congregation to worship and praise and gratitude. And so my prayer is that that's what the Lord has done today. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, so many blessings, Lord. So much goodness. We give you praise, Lord, for the security that we have in you, knowing, God, that you will never leave us. That for all of eternity, our relationship with you is secure. Because you are faithful and your steadfast love endures not just when we're good, not just for a little while. Your steadfast love endures forever and ever and ever and ever. God, we thank you and praise you today for all these blessings that we have in you. And Lord, I ask now that in this invitation, God, you know right where we are. You know what we've been going through. You know what we're facing. And Lord, maybe, God, as we close this service, perhaps there's some that just need to come and express gratitude and express praise and express thanksgiving. Lord, or maybe there's some here today, Lord, who need to come and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Maybe they've never been saved. And maybe today is the day, Lord Jesus, where they receive you into their heart as Lord and Savior. God, we pray that you'll just move now and work in our hearts in a very special way. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.